Chandler Church, Scripture tells us that in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus called unto Himself 12 disciples. He gave them power against demons, and He gave them the ability to heal diseases. He sent them out amidst their Israelite countrymen to preach the gospel, and then Jesus gave to them a warning and an admonishment. Jesus told them that as they were sent out to preach, tough times were ahead. Jesus said to those 12 that He called to Himself that they would be delivered up to councils, that they would be scourged in synagogues, that they would be brought before governors and kings for Christ's sake, that brothers of theirs would deliver other brothers up unto death, that children would rise up against their parents and cause those parents death as well. And then Jesus concludes that warning. He concludes that admonishment with this truth about tough times, that those apostles and we as disciples of Christ would face in the end. He said this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Jesus said to them, and Jesus said to us, that you will be hated of all men for My name's sake. But she or he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Can you say amen? Jesus gives us today, Chandler Church, as He did the disciples of His day, this understanding about the marathon of ministry that they were to undertake. That in that ministry they were to face very tough times. But the truth about whatever it is that they, or we, are planning to partake in the last days of earth's history as it pertains to tough times, Jesus was expressing this message to us today, Chandler Church. Tough times, they don't last, but tough people do. Can you say amen today? We need to be careful in our carnal nature, because we typically view toughness or strength as fury or ferocity. But the Bible posits something altogether different as it pertains to strength, toughness, ferocity, especially in an environment where we are hated by all men for the sake of Jesus Christ. Strength, toughness, and endurance in that environment is best explained and exhibited, according to the writers of Scripture, as self-restraint. You see, when the Bible presents to us the power of God that comes upon you and I to give us strength and toughness and endurance, it presents it to us as the fruits of the Spirit. Have you heard that before? It's presented to us by Paul there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Paul says, this is what happens, this is what manifests itself when the Holy Spirit truly comes upon you. It's not some unintelligible prayer language, it's not the loss of your abilities and capacities. Paul says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you in strength, in power, in endurance, Paul says, you become love. You become joy. You become peace. You become patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And one of the greatest manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our life, according to Paul and the Word of God, is what's that last one, church? What is it? Self-control. See, that self-control that Paul talks about when the Holy Spirit comes upon us in strength and power is not something that we do once in a while. Not something we have in various situations and circumstances. It is something we hold on until the end. And it manifests itself in our daily living, in every asset and aspect of our life, in balance, in calmness, in determination, in confidence, and in willpower. And we hold on to these things, not just in certain situations, semblances, and circumstances, but all the way until the end. We endure, amen, under duress, under persecution, under affliction, under the very worst circumstances, Christ calls for you and I to endure. This is why Solomon said to us in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, as it pertains to true strength, true power, true endurance, that whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he or she who controls herself or rules her spirit is better than he who takes a city. Can you say amen? Emblematic of this understanding is the illustration we find in the life of Alexander the Great, the greatest military conqueror that the world has ever known, but could not conquer his own lower nature. And history tells us that Alexander the Great died at only 32 years of age. After conquering the world, he died in Babylon, at the palace of Nebuchadnezzar II, after several days straight of drinking alcohol. As great as Alexander was, Alexander didn't comprehend true strength, true toughness, and true endurance. And as great as Alexander's efforts were to conquer the world, this is what Jesus, our King and Conqueror, tells us. He says, "Blessed are the meek, for the meek shall inherit the earth." Can you say amen? Now understand this, Chandler Church. Meek does not mean weak necessarily. And we definitely don't want to get the two confused. Meek means humble and dependent upon the strength of God to live the way that is pleasing in God's sight. Can you say amen? And I believe, I would suggest to you today that this meekness was on display in the life, in the marathon of ministry that Jesus Christ portrayed for us. Especially, and most specifically, Jesus Christ's death on the cross. I believe, friends of mine, and especially you men out there, that Jesus Christ's death on the cross was the greatest act of self-restraint the world has ever seen. See, there on the cross, as beings infinitely weaker than Christ were nailing nails through his hands, Jesus exhibited true strength by not using the power at his disposal to subjugate his enemies. Rather, he chose to love and ultimately defeat and win them over with that same affection. You see, men, we may not realize it or not, and maybe this is why men don't come to church or come to Christ as greatly as they should. But this Jesus Christ who died on the cross of Calvary, this is the same Jesus that vanquished all the enemies of Israel. The same Jesus that wiped out the Assyrians. The same Jesus that drowned Pharaoh in the Sea of Reeds. The same Jesus who's described in Revelation as having eyes like a flame of fire, a crown of many diadems, a robe dipped in blood. And out of his mouth a sharp sword goes that smites the nations as he rules them with iron and treads upon the winepress of the fierceness of God's wrath. That's a bad brother. Can you say amen? And this is why Paul says to us, as followers of King Jesus, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, that when I make myself weak, then, only then, I am truly strong. Because no matter how much power you or I, Chandler Church, may possess in this world, when you and I make ourselves meek, humble before King Jesus, and connect ourselves to the omnipotent God of all creation, we connect and align ourselves with the source of power that is sovereign over all. John who was the beloved apostle of Jesus, he expressed it this way. John said, for those of us who follow Jesus Christ in faith, greater is he that is in me than conquerors like Alexander who is in the world. Can you say amen? That is, Chandler Church, when you and I have Jesus Christ in our hearts, there's nothing the world can do to us to discourage us from staying the course that Christ has set us on. Because you and I are connected to infinite power. John describes this Christ as the power and the victory that overcomes everything we deal with here in this realm. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, John says this. He says, for everyone that is born of God does what, everyone? Overcomes the world. And John says, this is the victory that has overcome the world. Not our strength, not our power, not our works, not what we have done. Our faith, our trust, and our belief in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Can you say amen today? In this world, Chandler Church, we are bombarded by philosophies, ideologies, systems that are contrary to the government of God. But when you and I choose to be born of God, meaning that we let Jesus Christ into our hearts, then our hearts remain comforted by the understanding that through Jesus Christ, the creator of our world, anything, even the most miraculous of things are possible. Do you believe that today? And by the way, the most miraculous aspect of our faith is conversion. A life that was going and trending one way, transformed and turned to go another. Do you believe that today? Paul describes the strength, the power, the endurance to be found when one is converted in this way, and he describes it like this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. And what you see me doing, what you see me undertaking, the magnificent works you see transpiring, it is not me who's doing it. But Jesus Christ is alive in me. And the life that I'm living now, the strength that I have, the power I possess, the endurance with which I run my race, I do it all this way. I trust in Jesus. I believe on Jesus. I live by faith in the Son of God, who this I know about Him for sure. This I know. This one thing I know, I know, I know. He loves me. He loves me. And He gave Himself for me. Chandler Church, this is the power of God in our lives. This is what gives us strength and endurance to do that which we previously could not. This, Chandler Church, I would submit to you, this is the heart, the essence, the DNA of our faith. Very often, people in my church, friends, constituents of my congregation get asked by people in the community, you're a Seventh-day Adventist. What is it that you believe? What is it your faith is? And friends of mine, our faith is not, I go to church on Saturday. I don't eat meat. I don't drink alcohol. I don't wear jewelry. I don't diminish those things here for us today. But friends of mine, what a watered-down oversimplification of the miracle that God manifests in our lives. This is our faith. This is our faith. That Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, He sent His Spirit into my heart, and He lives in me. And He does in and through me that which I could not do for myself. Can you say amen today? It's been the faith of prophets in the New Testament and patriarchs in the Old. Zechariah said it like this all the way back in the Old Testament. He said, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. Zechariah expresses that in this marathon of ministry that we undertake, the race does not go to the swift, nor the strong, nor the mighty. As mighty as you may be, you must make yourself meek before the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Jesus, Jesus, come and live in my life, because I can't do it on my own. It is only by the Spirit of God actuating us to go forward and honor the commandments that God has called us to, that we accomplish them. Can you say amen? It is only by the Spirit of God that you and I, in the race we face, this marathon of ministry, that we persevere. Speaking of perseverance and the Spirit, you Bible scholars out there will recall that Scripture tells us that Samson was able to prevail over his enemies by the Spirit of God coming upon him. It was in Judges chapter 14 that the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God came upon Samson and he was able to wrestle a lion, even to rent it in two. The Bible tells us in Judges chapter 15 that it was the Spirit of God that came upon Samson and enabled Samson to, with the jawbone of a donkey, slaughter 1,000 Philistine soldiers. All by the Spirit of God. But we also know that when it came to this strong man's weakness, which was women, specifically Delilah, we don't see in Scripture Samson getting down on his knees and asking God for his Spirit to give him the strength to resist and overcome that deficiency of his character. Samson forgot that it wasn't momentary feats of strength and power that merited him favor with God, but an enduring connection where in every circumstance he sought the guidance he needed from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus says to us today, friends, in all of the tough times we will face, we must endure them, because tough times don't last. But tough people do. Can you say amen? It wasn't until the end of his life that Samson discovered true toughness. It wasn't until he was humiliated publicly, privately, that this strong man humbled himself before God and was once again given the strength to subdue his captors and endure the perilous situation that he placed himself in through repetitive sin. And today, friends, if you want to get tough as Samson truly toughened himself and his character, today Jesus tells us how we as disciples, we as apostles, can get strength, power, and true endurance to face the marathon of ministry that we undertake as his followers. This is the secret. This is the essence. This is the heart of conversion and the source of strength we need to do what God has called us to be. In John chapter 6, verse 53 through 57, Jesus called all of his disciples and his apostles to himself. And he said something very controversial. He said something very polemic, which offended a great many of those who professed faith in him. John chapter 6, verse 53 through 57, Jesus said this: "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Jesus says, not Shane, Jesus said, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells where, everybody? In me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me," Jesus said, "and I live by the Father, so he or she that does what? Eats me shall live by me." Jesus then tells us in the narrative, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that many, therefore, of his disciples and his followers, those in the Seventh-day Adventist church of that time, they said, "Jesus, hold up now. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And only 6 verses later, those who profess to be followers of the true and living God from that time went back and walked no more with him. What a shame. What a tragedy, huh? And I believe this church, the same thing happens today. That when Jesus lays out the true plan of salvation, the true source of strength, power, and endurance in our walk of faith, many among us cannot accept it. Many of us cannot take it. And many of us walk away. I find this as a pastor, as a Christian minister, who very frequently studies the Bible with people. And as we go through a series of Bible studies, the fundamental doctrines of our church, in each one, we address the plan of salvation. How Scripture affirms to us that we have no righteousness of our own, and that only by the indwelling power of Jesus Christ do we have strength to keep the commandments of God. And even though we lay out those studies, even though we go through the Word of God, at the end of those studies, quite frequently people say, "Well, Pastor Shane, you know what? I want to give my heart to Jesus, but before I do that, I've got to get my life right." You heard that before, right? Those of you who've ever done a Bible study, I know you've heard that before. And very often, more often than not, those folks never end up getting baptized because they never end up getting their life right. This is what I believe, Chandler Church. I believe that this is the greatest deception of the devil. Because it sure wasn't how Peter, James, and John came to Christ when Christ said, "Just come and follow me." But this is the greatest deception of the devil. I believe it, I really do. I've got to get my life right before I follow Jesus. Listen to me today, church. You can't get your life right without giving your heart to Jesus. You don't even know everything that's wrong with your life. The Holy Spirit has to reveal it to you over time and in increments, because if He showed you how you are, you couldn't take it. Today is the day of salvation. Too many people are waiting to get their life right while Jesus says, "You better come get something to eat. Take me into your life. Get my life inside of yours in order that you may endure." Can you say amen today? Some of you may know or have heard the story of Nando Parado, one of the Uruguayan soccer players whose survival tale was immortalized in the movie Alive. That movie told the story about Nando's desperate decision to resort to cannibalism when a plane carrying the Uruguayan soccer team crashed high in the Andes. After his departed friend nourished him in order that he could survive and endure, Nando then set out alone in the frozen terrain without any gear in those mountains of the Andes, and he found the help that saved the lives of all of those survivors. And friends of mine, Nando's story is commemorated as one of the greatest feats of survival and endurance in modern history. And like Nando, the grim reality that you and I are forced to face is that we need to feed off of, we need to feed on Jesus in order to survive and in order to endure. Can you say amen? Peter put it this way for us. He says, "Through the precious promises and great promises that God has presented to us." Like Elena saying today, I am a promise. Through those great promises, Peter says that you and I, we become what? What's that word? Partakers of what type of nature? The divine nature, having escaped the corruption which is in the world through lust. Because whatever corruption we can face from this world, whatever corruption we can fathom, when we partake of Christ, friends of mine, we have strength to endure. And Jesus says, "He or she that endures to the end, the same will be saved." Why? Because tough times don't last. But tough people do. Can you say amen today? I believe, beloved, that there are three great corruptions of this present age that we are all called to endure and weather. Three T's that we face until we are in heaven, free from a sinful world. And the first is this: temptation. Anybody among us dealt with temptation? I know I have. Temptation comes upon all of us in this sinful world, and Jesus calls upon all of us to endure it all the way to the end. And I find one of the most fascinating temptations in Scripture, in recorded history, is that of Jacob and his brother Esau. You remember it, don't you? Esau was the firstborn and heir to the promises that God made to Isaac. But after a long day of hunting and being out in the field, a long day of sportsmanship, he came back, saw his brother cooking, and he traded his birthright and divine blessings of God away for a bowl of lentils. Bad deal, would you say? And I would say to us, friends, that every time we willingly sin, every time we willingly choose to live in opposition to the expressed word of God, we do something similar. Richard G. Scott quoted it this way. He said this: think of the long view of life, or the big picture. Not just what's going to happen today or tomorrow. Don't give up what you want most in life for something you think you want right now. We do that too often, don't we? That we know what's best, we know what's greatest, we know what's most pure, and in that fleeting moment of time, something else comes along that entices us to trade away our faith, our belief, and what God has called us to. And thank God that God is merciful. Amen? He forgives us anyway. But friends, we can do better. I know we can do better. And Paul says we can do better in Hebrews 12, verse 4. Paul says, in all of your temptations, in all of the things you face and strive, Paul says, you have not resisted to blood, striving against sin. Too often, friends, we give in too easily to our temptations, don't we? And we don't follow the example of our Lord. Paul there was referencing Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, when your and my eternal fate was on the line. And Jesus' lower nature, his sinful flesh, said, do what's best for you. Save and preserve yourself. Be your own man and don't worry about everyone else. And Jesus, he had to get down on his knees and pray for God's strength to comfort him. Jesus, in that prayer, he said, Lord, I don't want to do this. If it's possible, if there's any other way, take this cup from me, but here's the thing. I surrender all. I surrender all. And whatever your will is, Lord, I'm prepared to do it. Friends of mine, when Ellen White talks about overcoming temptation, she says everything starts with the right action of our will. And the first step in that race of endurance we run, the first step is surrendering that will to Jesus. Can you say amen today? Jesus was praying and pleading till blood was coming through his pores. And when Paul talks to us about the temptations that we face, Paul says that no temptation has come upon you as did upon Jesus. No temptation has overtaken you as such that is common to man. But when those temptations come upon you, Paul says, God is what? He's right there with you. Right there with you. He's faithful and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But also with the temptation, God will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Endure. Endure. Why? Because as those temptations come, and they are so tough, I know they are. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. Can you say amen today? The second T is trials. And all of us are going through trials, aren't we? Trials in our life. And very often when we talk about trials, we call them trials, but actually the Bible calls them something different. Because trials are God's way of proving our love for Him. No trial can come upon us unless God permit it and He allow it. And here's why. God believes in you more than you believe in Him. So when Satan says, Lord, let me put her through this. Your father, who's so proud of you, he says, go ahead. Watch my baby girl see what she does. Go ahead. Lord, let me drag him through this situation. God says, go ahead. Watch my baby boy. Watch what he does. You see, the Bible calls our trials not trials, but in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says they are trials of our what? Faith. Trials are more than trials. They are trials of our faith. They are much more precious than of gold. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Think about your favorite movie or story, your favorite superhero, and why they are your favorite hero. Because in that story, in that movie, that hero overcame something so great. We don't become heroes unless we overcome the adversity or the adversary in our lives. And friends of mine, God, the heavenly angels, the intelligences, they see you, they view you as heroes, champions of the faith that has been entrusted unto you. And that faith that we have in our life affirms that the God we believe in, the God we trust, the God we love, that God is bigger than any problem and any trial that we can fathom. Do you believe that today? Bigger than your weariness, bigger than your depression, bigger than your loneliness, bigger than your worry, bigger than your divorce. Yes, He is. And still can use you after that separation. Can you say amen? Bigger than your finances, bigger than that cancer, bigger than the situation with your children. God, friends of mine, there is nothing too hard for Him. Amen? You know, when Martin Luther King Jr. was spearheading the civil rights movement, he faced incredible trials of faith in his life and with his family. But in order to buoy himself, in order to motivate those who were in that movement, which was of Scripture and of God, they would so often sing and chant the theme and the song, "We Shall Overcome Someday." And I believe this. Whatever trial you're going through, whatever situation you are facing, this should be our mantra as Seventh-day Adventist Christians. We shall overcome someday. If we know that we are doing God's will, then God will be with us. Amen? God will give us victory. Amen? It's only a matter of time, because if God be for you, who can be against you? This is why when Paul looked at the trials, the troubles that were faced by the early Christian church, he said this in 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. For our light, momentary, fleeting, he says, troubles, they are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Joseph said to his brothers when they sent him off to Egypt, you meant it as evil, but God used it for good. Some of you are going through some stuff that God is setting you up for greatness in. Can you say amen today? So Paul says, do this. Do this. Don't fix your eyes on the trouble. Fix your eyes on what is not seen. Fix your eyes on what is eternal. And that is the kingdom that is to come. The Christ who will never leave you nor forsake you, even though you can't see Him in the semblance of your situation right at this moment. Paul says He's working out for you in His providence eternal glory. Why? Because tough times don't last, but tough people do. Can you say amen today? The final T as we come to our close that we will face in this sinful world is the great tribulation. And friends of mine, as we read about this in Scripture and the inspired pen, we know that tough times are ahead. But we also know that we can endure them because as the remnant church, the original church went through them first. As we study church history, we know that the patriarchs, prophets, and early church fathers endured persecution that was severely intense. Many of them were thrown to the lions in Rome. Many of them were used as human torches to light the night streets around the Colosseum. And Paul said, as they went through all of that, they did not retort or come back with swords or spears or violence. Paul said they endured. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 36, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. Now help me out, folks, because some of you are having tough time at work with that coworker for 8 hours. But that is not the same as being killed all day long. You with me? Those folks were laying down their lives for what they believe. And some of us, at the first sight of an evangelical questioning our fundamental beliefs, it doesn't really matter what we believe. Jude said we need to contend for our faith. And in contending for the faith, the early church fathers, they willingly and lovingly laid down their lives. And through the laying down of their lives, the gospel spread all across the world. See, Paul said that we need to endure that, and Paul said we need to weather that. Because Paul understood the teaching of Jesus Christ that says we need not be afraid of anyone who can kill our body, but rather we should, if it was to be a case of fear, fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Amen? Christ is King. Christ is Conqueror. Christ is Sovereign. Christ is our Lord. And Christ is the one that we give our hearts, our lives, and our allegiance to. Christ is the one who, in the midst of the great tribulation that we may face in these last days, can give us peace. Because Jesus says, peace belongs to us. Although we have tribulation, smile. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. My baby girl Hope, whenever we watch a movie together about a superhero, she always asks, she says, Daddy, is Spider-Man going to die? I say, no, baby, he's Spider-Man. Daddy, is Superman going to die? Baby, if he was going to die, he wouldn't be super. Friends of mine, how much more should we have confidence in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Because we've not followed cunningly devised fables, but we know and have the truth of a risen Lord who ascended to the right hand of the Father, who hears our prayers and ministers on our behalf. And in the midst of whatever it is we may face, we know we can face it. Because tough times don't last. Who lasts, everybody? Tough people do. Can you say amen today? Today, friends, Paul encourages us in the marathon, not the sprint, the long journey of running this race of ministry we've been called to. We need to run it with endurance. Amen? And endure all the way to the end. And not focus on the Pope, not focus on the financial crash, not focus on all the signs and the waymarks. They are important. I'm not minimizing them. But we need to focus and fix our eyes on who? On Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, the very one who's going to carry us across the finish line. Can you say amen today? The hope we have, the good news we have, the consolation we find is this. It's the hymn we sing, the hymn that we've constructed as a Seventh-day Adventist church, number 213. Jesus is coming again. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. because He's coming to rescue us soon, whatever this world can face us with, we can endure it with strength, with power, and with the grace of God. Do you believe it today?